Welcome to News for the Soul's 20th anniversary broadcast series. News for the Soul, the longest running spiritual empowerment and exploration broadcast in North America, started its 21st year in January 2018, and we're just getting warmed up. It's time to take it to the next level, exploring the edge of human consciousness and possibility on planet Earth in our 21st year with founder and journalist Nicole Marie Whitney at the helm. What's really real and what's really possible? That is what we want to know. So if you're ready to find out together, get ready for life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Platinum Edition, here is News for the Soul.
Next on News for the Soul Radio, it's time for Journey to Healing with Linda Johns. Linda has worked in the field of alternative healing for over 25 years, healing people and animals with her intuitive abilities and many areas of the healing arts, including certifications from the Institute of Health and Healing, the International Breath Institute, and the Wildfire Holistic Animal Healing Center, and more. Please welcome Linda Johns. Back to News for the Soul.
Linda, welcome back.
Hi, thank you. Glad to be here.
Let's get you to reintroduce yourself and your show.
Thank you. My name is Linda Johns, and I have had the opportunity of working and being of service for both people and animals since the early 90s. My company is called Journey to Healing, and I create a bridge to awareness and truth. And so whether that be being the voice for animals and helping to bring clarity and healing, or even being a voice for the higher self, the subconscious, the other realms that need to come into being for a person's healing as well. We just kind of bridge all of that together. And today was guided to work a little bit more with the connecting with animals and the wisdom that the animals can not only teach, but that it's a birthright that we can give ourselves by allowing some of the subtleties and the sacred art to be present and to listen or to just be in tune with the universe around us. So It's an empowerment when we allow ourselves to plug back into the larger field. And I'd just kind of like to share some of the teachings that might help or give you permission to do that today.
Sounds great. The floor is yours.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you. Well, one of the things when we're looking at animal communication is that there's many, many ways that we all communicate with animals, whether it be from just the basic body language, the training level, hand signals, the clickers, the looking at each other and knowing through just a resonance of the heart what is being communicated. There's many, many ways that we already do share with our animals. What I'd like to open the field of possibility is to actually bridge more from the clairsentient world of whether that being using the clairaudio or the clairvisual, the clairsentient, the empathic abilities that all come in when we start using a higher sense than the 3D, five tangible senses that are right in front of us. So we are looking at bridging into those realms that sometimes have to have a little bit of our own interpretation or our own vocabulary added to it. When you're working with an animal, you can work in both the direct communication as well as indirect communication. And the different being is when we are working with indirect communication, we are just kind of putting that out there, whether that be in a prayer for healing or insight into what the animal might need, We're just putting our intentions out there. Prayer, meditation, visualization, just guided work is one of the ways of just working indirect, where you're just allowing information to come to you. Dream state is another way of that, like putting the intention that you, before you go to sleep, that you ask for clarity on what might be necessary for healing the kitty's stomach. And so you may find yourself dreaming about it that night, and that is the wisdom of the universal field helping to give you the direction and insight to support the kitty in that example. The direct communication is more of a learning, or actually it's an unlearning. There's really more to unlearn when we are trying to work with the subtle realm and the clairvoyance or the clairaudio, clairsentient realm, because we've been conditioned into not trusting what isn't tangible to the eyes in our everyday reality. So with that, we sometimes have to give ourselves permission to open up and to allow some of these to be a possibility before we start, or as we start playing with it. The more we give ourselves permission just to relax and to allow it to be fun, the more easy those pathways will come into being. Our mind does like to make things much more difficult than it needs to be. So the mind often is trying to question what the information or the sensations that you might be getting, which can lead to a little bit of self-doubt, which I personally find that the two biggest obstacles to overcome when we're trying to learn to bridge with the animals in a deeper way is the self-doubt and the fear. Now, the fear often comes from the fear of the conditioning. What will other people think? What if I give myself permission to listen to the animal, what else in my life will I have to listen to? Like the inner wisdom of prompting you into a job that you might be dissatisfied with, or a relationship that you've outgrown. So sometimes there's fear about just even opening to listening, because the fear of where it will take you is one of the mind chatters that we sometimes have to come to terms with, or just even embrace. And the self-doubt is often the obstacle about, did I hear that? Did I just make it up? I can't be still, or I can't visualize. Those are all things that we're doubting our abilities if we have the permission to just be. Now, Carolyn Mice once said, and she said that she disappoints people when she discusses intuitive intuition, because she firmly believes that intuition or symbolic sight is not a gift but a skill. And she feels it's a skill based on self-esteem. So the more we believe in ourselves, the more we trust ourselves, the more we know ourselves, the more confident we are, the more likely we will have permission for this subtle realm to be more fluid in our life. And so knowing that, that doubt is just one of the things. So when you are practicing or starting to develop a willingness to connect into that universal field and receive information, if you do hear your mind doubting or question, just acknowledge it and then still validate the very first thing that you heard or seen or felt, sensed, smelled, whatever senses you're comfortable with when you are beginning to work with the communication, it's going to flow through one or two pathways that you're already very comfortable with working. So say like if you are an empath where you're very sensitive to feelings and emotions, and you can walk into a room and have a feeling of what just happened there, either great excitement or sadness, there's a good chance that you're going to be more comfortable with using the intuitive or the empathic skill with your animal communication. So that's also another thing I find that can be a little tripping stone, is because sometimes people are looking for the visual, or they're wanting to hear the words, and they're actually getting the feeling, but their mind thinks that they're supposed to be getting it in a different way. So that can be part of the self-doubt and the little bit of a challenge to realize that we, again, will all work within our own comfort zone. Also, I find that animals will use whatever pathway they can to get through. And when an animal communicates, it's not to fill up space like we do as people often. We are quite uncomfortable with stillness or with silence, so we try to fill it up with noise or chatter or talk or distraction. But when an animal speaks, sometimes it's actually only one word or a few words. But that single word or those, you know, three or four words could actually be the whole story. And so it doesn't have to be this big, elaborate book like our minds are used to reading. When we're communicating with animals in the beginning, going back to the fear, the mind has a fear of looking foolish or being wrong. So if an animal only gives you one word or two or three words, the mind wants to often try to fill in the blanks or make it make sense to the mind so it doesn't sound foolish. Now, this is when we actually start to get less accurate in our skill, because when we start filling it in, we're running through, we're adding to it for our own sense of comfort and safety, not always from what the animal really wants to have expressed. So those are mindful awarenesses when we're beginning to develop the skills. And another thing with animal communication is, you know, we talked about body language being one of the ways that we communicate with animals, but that's a two-way street. And so our body language is also communicating to the animal, whether we're open, whether we're relaxed, whether they can trust us, or whether we're afraid or tense. We're sending that information to them through communication. So ideally, learning how to be aware of what's your own energy field is speaking first can be very helpful in developing that sense of safety or just a trust that the animal can open up to you and share. One of the ways that I encourage is, and of course there's many ways, and one of the things with my animal communication classes, I really encourage everyone to make it unique and to take their abilities and to blend it into their own form. So it's not a cookie cutter approach, because we all are gifted in many, many ways. And so it's about just taking what you need and leaving the rest and bringing it in where the expression is more of from your own authentic place. But choosing to drop into the heart, or to move out of the mind and into the body, expanding the energy field. The heart of gratitude is always a really wonderful place to work, making sure that you're in an open heart, or you're just grateful for the opportunity of sharing or helping or healing or being the voice just holding that field of service and allowing that to be the communication to the animal gives a lot more permission for the exchange to be an ebb and flow back and forth. Now, I also, when I do the direct communication, I also find it is very helpful to ask questions, because just like if you're sitting in a park with your friend and you're both just sitting there enjoying each other's company and enjoying the space, if nobody says something, you're both just enjoying the quietness. And that often is the case with our animals, is that we can enjoy each other's presence, but unless there's a dialogue directed where we're asking for information or their insight, where it can be back and forth, then we often just sit there in that stillness, still in love and gratitude, but we sometimes feel that we don't understand what they're asking or they're looking at us. And if you have an animal that ever just looks at you and you think, you know, what are you trying to tell me? That would be a good time to just drop into the heart and just expand the energy field and just ask for the message to come through, whether it be a feeling, a sense, a word, a picture. Your willingness to open to receive it will certainly give the animal permission to share with you and or to work a little harder for you to get the information. So our animal friends love when we really have a desire to understand, to build a deeper relationship, to go beyond just the, you know, the physical rituals of our experiences. So they very much enjoy that. And with that open heart, when we are communicating with animals or again, learning the skill of communication, it's often the fear, again, may pop up. When we go into fear, what normally happens when the mind goes into fear is it actually pulls your energy field in very close to you. And so there's almost like a disconnect, and it goes into protection, and victim consciousness comes in this realm, and also being at the effect of the situation. So when we are working with the animal and we do trigger fear and we disconnect, sometimes it's just a very abrupt. It's like the animal's there wondering what just happened, and of course it's our own process in our mind. So if you have that experience, then you could also just drop back into the heart and expand it with love. Well, when I was with the gray whales last month, that was one of the teachings of just really working from that field, the universal field of source or the quantum field, morphogenic field, whichever you'd like to call it, but to really have that in the resonance of unconditional love. And that space then allows for growth to take place. And growth happens for both of us, for ourselves as well as the animal, when we are willing to come together in this heart connection or from an unconditional loving place. Now, with growth also comes power and also cause. You start to be the creator of the experience. And so those are the two choices that we just have to remember when we are bridging the realm of animal communication, is that we either choose love or we choose fear. And if we're in self-doubt, that's another form of fear. So just to be mindful or aware of that will help as you're developing the abilities and awakening those parts of yourself. I saw this saying today, and I really resonated with it. And it is a saying from Emily McDowell. And, you know, as we're trying to, seems like we're always trying to find ourselves or better ourselves or embrace. And this saying here just kind of really hit home in a few areas. Finding yourself is not really how it works. You aren't a $10 bill in last winter's coat pocket. You are also not lost. Your true self is right there, buried under conditional cultural conditioning, other people's opinions, and inaccurate in conclusions. You draw as a kid that became your beliefs about who you are. Finding yourself is actually returning to yourself, an unlearning, an excavation, a remembering who you were before the world got its hands on you. And again, that was Emily McDowell. And as we were talking about animal communication, is it truly is more of that unlearning or remembering who we are. I truly believe that we are all have the ability to communicate with the environment around us, and that it's not just a special gift to an elite few, but it is a heart's desire or a passion if we put it into practice. So we all have many, many paths and many ways that destinies that we can play out. And whether we choose to use the intuitive arts or not, again, doesn't make it right or wrong, or doesn't make one experience better than another. It's just how we chose to express our soul's journey this time. And so giving yourself permission to return back to a part that was born into this wisdom, into the ability to know the sacred, to know the communication. There is the belief and the awareness that our souls were created in, you know, what's considered 5D, which is a oneness state, and that oneness is an energy of vibration of being whole, being complete, being in oneness with the environment, the animals, the people, the energies, ourselves. And we're trying to remember that. That's actually the remembering stage, is we're moving from the 3D, which is when we created our own separation, where we created the conditionings and the structures that keep us limited or small, and we're trying to expand back into the remembrance and claiming ourselves. And in doing so, we might be guided to a lot of the intuitive arts and other paths that we haven't allowed ourselves to express or embrace. And so the claiming ourselves or remembering ourselves sometimes is just a willingness to release what really no longer serves. And I'd like to actually just walk us through a little visualization, little guided journey. And if you're driving or listening where you can't focus on this, you know, please keep yourself safe. But going back to just shedding what really doesn't serve is what we're going to just look at here in this little exercise. And so we're just going to give ourselves permission to just follow your breath into the awareness and breathing into yourself, bringing your awareness of the mind into the belly as the breath expands. And you can visualize this both ways. You can visualize your awareness going into yourself and actually being part of your physical body in this experience. Or some people like to visualize themselves outside of themselves, almost like you're seeing an image of yourself in front of you in your mind's eye. Whichever is more comfortable for you is perfect. And as you're breathing in and just watching the energy or sensing the energy flowing, you may become aware of sensations or tightness. And just giving permission for the breath to move into those areas and just soften them and relax. And as the breath is moving into those tight areas, you may also become aware of the many times that you've chosen fear. And that each time we have the fear, the self-doubt, even shame, guilt, it all becomes like a little bit of a density or a heaviness in the field. And the more that we seem to feel fearful or uncertain, the more likely it is that we have created a protection for ourselves, a protection field, an armor, a defensive mechanism. And all the times that we may have gotten intuitive thought and we didn't trust it, or we were afraid to speak it, that little voice, that inner wisdom, just gets buried a little deeper. Any time that we judge ourselves or compare ourselves and our abilities to others, any time that we were feeling vulnerable or less than, another layer of that protection takes form. And as you're breathing, just become aware of your protection. And giving yourself permission, and you can ask for the help of your guides, your angels, your teachers, any divine source that you'd like to call by name. And just ask that their presence be here to help you release the armor, release the protection, to release what no longer serves. And in any way that feels comfortable and safe, allow yourself to let go of the protection, maybe laying down the shield, maybe seeing yourself just unzip and take off the protective layer, the density, like taking off a wetsuit. Or you may even have the help of your higher realm help you to lift off the armor, like the suit of armor. And as you're being released from the old protections, the old armors, the cultural conditionings, the inaccurate conclusions that you drew about yourself, you start to feel the lightness the freedom, almost like a sense of spring, like a renewal, like giving yourself permission to just blossom. And as you're standing in this place with this sense of freedom, just note how light, how energetic, how much higher vibration your field holds without all the density of the old protection and fears and self-doubt. And as you're standing there, recognizing this higher, more resonant frequency, you just realize that there's still a netting that seems to be over you. And you just ask the help of your guides. Your divine support. Again, whoever you're comfortable working with, just ask them to help untie the knot that is holding this net in place. The net is sometimes our old stories, our old beliefs, and just see all of the knots being untied, all of the wood knots, all of the should knots, all of the could knots, all of the cannot. All of the I'm not. And seeing and feeling and experiencing these knots just unraveling and just falling to the ground. As these old limited stories, whether they be your own or the collective or generational, ancestral, just giving yourself permission to untie all the knots. And as all those knots and that netting just unravel and just fall to the ground, allow yourself to be embraced completely in the light of remembrance. Opening your heart and expanding. Remembering your true source light. Seeing, feeling, embracing the light body. The innate wisdom. The intuition. Remembering who you are, And as you embrace that light, it's as though you realize that the universal field, the web, is just like a spider's web. At each intersection, there is a beautiful point of light. And see yourself as one of those beautiful, important points of light. As we, each and every one of us, are an important part of light, point of light, and the animals are points of light. And the divine is points of light. We're all connected. We're all sourced by the same light body energy. And we realize that as we are just witnessing this universal web, as though you can see out into the galaxy and pinpoint after pinpoint after pinpoint, that it's infinite, it doesn't stop. And that we are connected to the greater whole, that we can receive the wisdom, that we can share through these axitonal lines that run through this webbing, that we can clearly hear the vibrations, the frequencies, the sounds, whether it be words, feelings. It all runs through this webbing. And we are a divine pinpoint holding a very sacred space with a very sacred purpose. And remembering who you truly are. And whenever necessary, allow yourself to remember the pinpoint of light when any fears or self-doubts, any questioning what I'm here for, what's my purpose, let yourself be the pinpoint of light. And the energy and the wisdom, the healing will all flow from that point. And just allowing ourselves to take that breath in the remembrance, trusting. Giving ourselves permission to be able to communicate with all life, whether it be people, animals, plants, stones, all life. The dolphins, I'll be doing a dolphin trip this week, actually. Next week will be with the wild dolphins. And last year, the dolphins shared with me, because they love to actually lay sideways in the water and go along by the boat and just watch the people. And I asked them what they were experiencing when they were witnessing us in that way. And one dolphin shared with me the picture of a rainbow and how we people get very excited when we see a rainbow in the sky and all of the beautiful colors and just the tranquility and the sense of peace and beauty with that. And the dolphins were sharing with me that when they look up, they actually see our energy field that looks like a beautiful multicolored rainbow. And they get really drawn into the energy of our field, our auric field. All the levels of the auric field resonates different colors and different frequencies. And so there's a connection that takes place just by being in the field. And many times with animal communication, we do need to connect in order to bridge. And connecting in the field is one of the ways. So either like expanding our energy field out, like the dolphins were sharing, because when we're witnessing the dolphins and we're playing with them, there's such a heart of joy and just love that our energy fields just really expand out to the fullest. And when we drop into the heart of gratitude, that's exactly what we're doing also, is we're letting the feeling of gratefulness just ripple out and move farther and farther away from us, filling the space, filling the surroundings. I mean, you can even go out to the city, to the state, to the world with gratitude if you just allow that frequency to emanate from you. And so that in itself can be the energetic connection that is necessary to bridge with the animal. Or you could do it more mindfully. I personally bridge from my third eye to the animal's third eye. So it's almost like I create a beam of light from my third eye to theirs. Some people will do heart to heart, where they go from the heart to the animal's heart. I've also heard it as a triangulation, where you go from the third eye to the animal's heart, and from the animal's heart to your heart, back up to your third eye. So I don't personally do it that way, but what's really nice is that we all will do it in the way that is the most comfortable for us. And you'll also maybe read different books, and some books will say that a horse talks to them in riddles and a dog in picture and a cat in words. And to them, that's absolutely truth. But it doesn't have to be that for everyone. So let your own uniqueness come into being when you are developing pathways of communication. And one of the skills or practices that I highly recommend too is actually working with a candle flame. and just sitting in witnessing, watching the candle flame and watching the blue and the yellow part of the flame come together. And if you're looking at trying to use the candle flame, it's a way of not only helping you to hold focus, like your mind is focusing on something. You could imagine the animal in the center of the candle flame, and you could be receiving and directing, like just first off, just start by just sending unconditional love or gratitude to the animal and let them send that back to you and just get a feeling or a sensation of what that, how that feels. Now, also with the candle flame, it's a really good exercise because, like we had talked about in one of the classes a few months ago about the different levels of the soul and the quality of the soul in relations to like the flame of the candle. And the blue of the candle is where the soul holds joy. And the yellow part of the candle holds the quality or actually the universal love. And in that expression of that love also holds the quality of wisdom. So when we join joy and unconditional love together, you have your heart's desire. You have your passion. So if you're ever looking for a passion in life, make sure that the love, unconditional love, and joy, the resonance of those two, and they will be guiding you. Now, often when we are working with animals, there is more of a possibility of the unconditional love and just the joy of that the animals bring to us. So it already bridges that heart's desire to communicate, to actually understand them deeper and in many different ways as well. So allow that pathway to come through the candle flame. Also, there is a one of those teachings that say if you meditate on the candle where the blue light meets the yellow is actually one of the spaces of developing your psychic sight. And so you can be using that as a development of visualization and seeing as you're witnessing the animal in the candle or the information may show up in the flame. It's a fun way of just developing communication in making it lighthearted and just making it fun. It's always easier to remember when we allow ourselves to play. So I highly recommend that as we're developing. And one of the things with the communication also is it's necessary to not only be in present moment, which is often, you know, being aware of our body, but also in the mind. The left side of the mind holds a lot more of the analytical, the logical facts and figures. It's the part of the mind that wants to keep track of what's being said in the communication. And then the right side of the brain, of course, is the expansive. It wants to see the bigger picture. It's also where you access it through dream states and other ways of developing the right side brain would be doing activities such as drumming or dancing, painting, drawing, swimming, anything where you're actually engaging that creative expression helps to hold a little bit more possibility. They do say that 70% of our culture live in the left side brain. So as we're trying to merge into the possibility of animal communication, we'll want to not only move a little bit out of the logical part because that sometimes inhibits the intuitive version, because if it doesn't make sense to the mind, that's when the mind will start telling you stories or trying to make the story. But what's really beneficial is to learn how to work in the space in the middle, between right brain, left brain. It's called the whole brain state. And we want to just learn how to be in the awareness of that we can be expansive and we can be logical at the same time. And that is the most powerful place to receive the information. And often for myself, when an animal communicates, it's very, very subtle, and it's almost like a thought just pops in to that middle space in the brain. So it's not my thought, because my thought has a different frequency. It's like maybe a little bit more harsh. But the softness of the animal's voice just popping in. So if you can also help yourself to recognize the difference between your voice and the animal's, it certainly makes it easier to discern which is which. And so that those are all just little skills of helping to bridge into the animal realm of wisdom. And the animals certainly can be our teacher, and they do say that humility is the key to the magic kingdom. So if we humbly come to this place where we're wanting to understand, wanting to speak, wanting to share, that the battle is already won, because we're just being more humble than willing our way through it. So just keep be mindful of that as well as you practice and develop. And Nicole, where are we with time?
Oh, my goodness, I couldn't access my button. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
So we are 5 minutes from the top. We had a couple email questions, but I didn't want to interrupt your flow there. But I'll just put one of them, maybe you can address fairly quickly. I'm sure you get this a lot. This is from Teresa in New York. She's asking, how do you trust that you're not making stuff up?
Yes, actually, that is part of just developing. One of the ways that I offer classes, of course, and we work with animals that are not your own, it's harder to work with your own animals because the mind does already know so much about it, so it would be easy to doubt what you got because you already knew it. But when you start playing with other animals, pictures, just sensing what you feel about that animal, it gives you permission to start trusting. And it's a development. Personally, I have to say I worked for probably 2 years, just really working with receiving, getting, before I really felt that my accuracy rate was where I would like it to be. When we first start, we're about 50-50. And then as we, or unless we've already developed a lot of intuitive sight, then we might be 60% accurate, 70% accurate. The nice thing about intuitive abilities is no one ever in history has been documented as 100% accurate, so you can take off any performance anxiety and know that if you get 8 or 9 of the questions accurate for the animal's behalf, you're still going to be of great, great service to them, especially if there is a need. So it's not so much about being right in the beginning, because if we're afraid of making mistakes, we'll never allow ourselves to be right, to practice enough to be right.
That's a good answer. I'm glad we got that question in. All right, we now have 3 minutes to the top with another show behind you, so it is shameless self-promotion time.
I'd actually just like to offer my animal communication classes. There are self-paced classes that are pre-recorded that you can take at any time. And I'm currently in a series that if you wanted to jump in at this time, we have two more, May 13th and May 20th, once a week on Mondays from, I think it's 11 Pacific time to 12:30. And they're also recorded, so if you can't make the time, they are available. And this is the basic animal communication, so learning how to develop the abilities to active listen, to focus, to discern, to trust what you're getting. That's all part of the fun of play. And so I'd love to share that with you. You can find information.
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing, and now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun, Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.